and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones, and here to join me with all the news from the world of super yachting is Cecile Gowart, editor of Boats US Edition. Cecile, how's it going?
Going well. What an exciting start of the week to see you here. Nice and bright and early for me.
It's a rare transatlantic call early in the week. So yeah, it's great to see you as well. And I know that we've both been kind of beavering away on our October issue. As lots of readers and listeners will know, we always run a particularly bumper issue for that each year to coincide with the Monaco Yacht Show, of course, where everyone will be and is shaping up to be a great event. So I thought perhaps we could start, Cecile, with a bit of a preview of what you've got coming up for us boat-wise.
Well, you know, for me, it's boats, 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 right? So we'll start with our cover girl, Kensho. I think we touched on her before in this podcast, but she's truly an eye-popping custom yacht built by the Italian C Group. Her owner was very hands-on and had a clear vision for what he wanted to achieve. She's got a very different layout, a really different exterior style, beautiful hull color, which changes a bit with the sunlight. Her exterior was done in cooperation with Azur, and the interior is by Joan Mancou. I spoke about them before. They're a very well-known French design team, but this is their first work in the superyacht world. But adventures to say, that probably will not be the last.
So yeah.
She'll be in Monaco. I hope we all get to see her. She looks amazing. At least the plan was for her to be in Monaco. Let's hope so.
Yeah, stunning boat. Absolutely.
Yeah, very much. Also in this issue is a CRN-built Rio. I do love this yacht for its colorful and happy interior. She also has a really lovely exterior by Omega Design. She was made for a family, and it's an interesting story because it happens sometimes, but she was sold twice, basically. The commission and owner stepped out of the project for whatever reason, and it looks like she found the right people because she's truly a beautifully happy yacht with a wonderful interior. CRN will show her to a few people who'll be lucky enough to get on board at this Monaco Yacht Show again. And she will be the cover for US edition. Wait to see what a nice cover our creative director, Chris Will, has come up with. I just love it.
Exciting.
Yes, very much so. We also take a look inside Moonstone, the first AMLs yacht to feature the design of the very talented team at Luxury Projects. I think it's the first, actually. Maybe I should correct myself. Anyway, it's a rare collaboration between AMLs and Luxury Project, at least at that time. And it's a really, really good looking yacht as well. There's a lot of eye-popping pieces on there. My favorite may be a sideboard with a strong marquetry in an almost emerald green color. Amazing, amazing work from Tuscany artisans at Luxury Project selected for this interior.
It's really nice to see some more color creeping onto some of the yachts. Like, I've definitely noticed since the pandemic that people are kind of personalizing their boats a lot more, and we're seeing some more kind of characterful interiors in terms of the color. Moonstone actually features in our interiors book, which goes to press today and will be out at Monaco Yacht Show. I think we've mentioned it before. It's just a really great kind of bible of interiors inspiration for super yachts and super yacht designers. But Laura was quoted in that talking about some really cool lighting that's on board Moonstone. There's some amazing, I think it was a big chandelier that was very cool. So if you do get on board, you have to remember to look up as well as around.
Yeah, she's got lovely, lovely details. I think Luxury Projects is an approach that is kind of really keeping in mind architecture, and it's a very interesting result, I think, on the interior design. And then on the boat side, let's not forget, we have a trio of super special smaller boats that people would enjoy using as tenders or to add to the fleet or keep somewhere else in the world. We have the superb limo from Pasco Tender, which Katia had the good fortune of riding on the Thames, and she fell in love with it. It was built right in your neck of the wind, well, not far from where you are in the UK. There's a new Wally, which has magic portholes, and one I had the great pleasure of driving myself on Lake Como, the Flint 956 from newcomer Flint Yachts.
What's magic about the portholes?
Well, there aren't any.
Ah, okay. Very magical.
Very magical. But you can actually see out anyway, thanks to a camera. So they wanted to keep the sleek exterior design. And it kind of simplifies things in the matter of maintenance because no windows to really worry about. Yeah.
God, that's a bold move. No portholes. But yeah, interesting to see what that looks like.
Yeah, well, actually, it looks really good on the outside. I haven't been on board, but yeah, it's an interesting step. Of course, you can always expect something creative from the creators at Wally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds like an amazing lineup of boats, and hopefully people will get to see some of them in the flesh as they're carrying around their copy of Boat International 2. we'll be watching. That's one of my favourite things at Monaco Yacht Show, to see who's managing to lug around a copy of Boat International and what they're reading. I'll be spying in the back of cafes. But one of the features I wanted to highlight is we have a piece about cryptocurrencies and super yachting, mm-hmm. Which I know is kind of controversial. Almost everyone you speak to has an opinion on this. And I've certainly seen a few articles kind of about the crash and everything coming out recently. But I really enjoyed this piece, partly because it was telling you who in the industry is getting involved in this, who has been kind of dipping their toes in the crypto waters, if you will, and why they think it's worthwhile when it's such a volatile market. And it's, you know, obviously not gone particularly well in recent months. And what they were basically saying, some of them are designers that are accepting cryptocurrencies as a form of payment. Other ones are designing kind of super yacht NFTs for fans to buy, a bit like artworks, a bit like we have for an auction that we've done with Andrew Winch as part of Blue Marine Foundation, I believe it was. But they were basically saying, look, you know, these transactions hardly ever happen, but what it allows us to do is to get in contact with a new pool of super yacht owners, with these kind of crypto kids that are new to the market. They're looking for a boat. No one else is talking to them. No one else is opening their doors to them. And when you look at it like that, it's actually quite a savvy kind of marketing move.
Absolutely.
Which I thought was quite interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that. And, you know, historically, there have been some sort of disasters in terms of super yachts and crypto. But the people speaking in the piece, some of them are, you know, very astute business people that are kind of saying, look, I can see a bit more of a future in this. So it's interesting. It'll be a good dinner icebreaker to have a read and make up your mind if you would ever indulge in that part of things or not.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's very interesting that we are looking at it, even though, you know, crypto is a little cryptic to some people.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say it's one of those pieces that I had to read again and again, because to understand the piece, I had to understand quite a bit about crypto myself, which I didn't before, but I kind of get it now. You can even have things like artworks or furniture on board your boat. People can own a share of them as an NFT. So you could own like a bit of a Picasso on board someone's boat.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot to digest there, but I think the writer's done a really good job of kind of looking at everyone who's involved in the industry, what they're doing and why and how it's panning out for them so far. And as the reader, you can kind of judge from afar, which is always fun. And then we've also got that great piece about pools that we mentioned some time back. That's just amazing. You know, great shots of great pools, which we know are becoming a bigger and bigger feature on board these new launches. And also a big article about Don Arano. Mm-hmm. But maybe more on that another time, because you had some other news, didn't you, Cecile?
Yeah, before we kind of touch on the yacht news for this week, I just wanted to mention a bit of news from this side of the world. You may recall, Charlotte, that we had a couple of articles on the Allen Exploration Fleet and yacht owner Carl Allen in the past in the magazine and online. He loves the Bahamas and treasure hunting from a very young age. And for the past 2 years, he and his team have explored an area where the Spanish galleon, I speak Spanish too, but it's like, I guess I want to get it right. And of course, I get it wrong. So Nuestra Señora de las Maravillas. There we go.
Hey.
Sank in the 17th century. Since she sank back then, many salvage operations took place. And they recovered loads of gold, precious gems, silver, you name it. This was one of the biggest galleon to ever sink. And it was filled with all these treasures. But it all went into private hands, so Mr. Allen had another goal. He wanted to create a museum to save what he found for posterity, and he was convinced he would find more from this galleon left in the sand. Of course, you know, the ocean is such a changing environment, so why not? And he was right. And so the new Bahamas Maritime Museum has opened its door in Freeport in Grand Bahama. It covers a big stretch of the Bahamian history from the time of the Lucayans. But the crown jewel of the museum is Nuestra Señora de las Maravillas and her treasures. The Allen X expedition has found some amazing pieces, including 3 gold chains and 4 pendants worn by members of Secret Order of Santiago, which apparently was a religious band of knights active in the Spanish maritime trade. It's truly an amazing achievement.
That is incredible. It still blows my mind that if you find something like that on the seabed somewhere, if you're diving or whatever, you can kind of keep it. Like, that's amazing. So
not anymore. Not anymore. Now it's very controversial. And actually, there's been a lot of changes in the laws. So a lot of the people who did the salvage operation, or treasure hunting, are moving on to some other places where the laws are a little bit more open. But for Carl Allen, it was not about the money. I mean, he's a wealthy man. It was about the adventure. It was about recovering this. It was about the history of the Bahamas. He really does love the Bahamas. He's gone there since he was a young kid. And so it was really a goal to just bring it out for everybody to see. So
yeah, an amazing thing for people to go and visit if they're in the area, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And so they will do some work on the pieces there as well. And hopefully they'll keep on finding more and bring it up to the surface and, you know, share it with the world through the museum.
Yeah, fantastic.
So now on to other news.
Yes, on to other news. And we're going to kick off with a sad but dramatic story, which has been all over my Facebook feed this morning and last week when it first broke out. So last week, I believe Stuart and Sophia were talking about superyacht fires and how there have been more and more of them. Well, it looks like they were bad luck because here we have it, even more news about fires. I'm very sad, this one, as it's a new boat, brand new boat. This is the 45-meter ISA motor yacht Aria SF, which has caught fire off the coast of Formentera in Spain during her maiden season in the Mediterranean. So sad. Yeah, the footage of it on our site is absolutely heartbreaking. According to local news reports, the Spanish Coast Guard received a distress call at 5 p.m. local time. This was last week, and sent 2 rescue boats to offer assistance to the vessel and its crew. Sadly, initial attempts to extinguish the flames were unsuccessful. It's understood that the yacht's 9 guests and 7 crew members evacuated the vessel with no injuries reported, which is really amazing when you look at the video of the flames, because it was really ablaze. It's the tragic news. She left the shipyard only last month and was due to make her world debut at the Cannes Yachting Festival in September. It's gutting.
Yeah, it is. And then we had a nice article and photos of her ready to go for the November issue of Vogue US. We had a correspondent go to the yard and visit it. It was just horrible to see a beautiful new yacht burn like that. Must be crushing for the owners who were so happy and proud of the result. And of course, the shipyard. Not a good thing at all.
Yeah. And the boat's in a terrible state. I think the yacht has been now towed to Ibiza and her burnt hull is resting 4 miles off the coast of Rocalisa. She's being guarded by the Coast Guard vessel Guadamar Concepcion Arenal in case she begins to sink or spill fuel. So very sad story there indeed. Next up is some news from your side of the pond, Cecile, or not quite from Turkey, but an owner from your side of the pond. So perhaps you'd like to take the next one.
That's right. So Turkish shipyard AVA Yachts has announced the launch of its 35-meter Infinity 9, which was launched in the Antalya Free Zone on August the 5th. It was commissioned by French-American NBA star Tony Parker, who basketball fans will remember had a great career with the Spurs. She's the second in the shipyard series of Condo Compact Explorer yachts, featuring a steel hull, aluminum superstructure, and bulbous bow. I remember discussing the project with the shipyard a few years ago, and what attracted Mr. Parker was the deck height and generous spaces, as well as a significant range. Characterized by contemporary styling, she has a full custom interior with 6 staterooms, including an upper deck master suite with its own private deck. At 320 gross ton and with a range of over 6,000 nautical miles, Infinity 9 has a global focus, obviously. The crew quarters can accommodate a staff of 6 in 3 cabins, including a separate captain's double cabin. Other key features include an extended swim platform at the stern, gym on the upper deck, and radical, quote-unquote, interior design according to the yard. She's expected to debut at the Cannes Yachting Festival in September.
That makes me laugh. The thing about what impressed him was the deck height and generous spaces. I guess basketball players in particular are very keen for lots of headroom and space.
No one wants to bump their forehead on the ceiling.
Exactly. They're probably more conscious than I am about the ceiling height, that's for sure. But this is another piece that's been getting a lot of love online. People love hearing about sports stars' yachts. And actually, if you're into spotting sports stars on their boats, we've got a piece all about that. I know a number of NBA stars have super yachts. Actually, not all of them we can talk about, but there's a great shot on that story of NBA legend Magic Johnson on holiday, on his summer vacation. He was on 73.5-meter Nobuskrug super yacht Siren. So you can see him catching some rays there. But yeah, it's an interesting boat, the Tony Parker's new yacht. Hopefully people will be able to check it out at Cannes, like you say.
Yeah, I think it will be a very interesting one to see. I had seen the first condo, but this one is going to be very, very much customized for Mr. Parker and his family.
Last news story of the week then is another new yacht. This is the news that Greek shipyard Golden Yachts has delivered the 88-meter Project X from its construction site in Athens. With an exterior designed by British studio Ken Freevuk, Project X is characterized by cascading decks, a large open aft deck with a swimming pool, and a unique column-shaped X structure amidships, which hides an internal three-deck atrium. Very cool. The atrium is complete with internal balconies and a circular glass elevator that's thought to be one of the largest of its kind ever installed on a superyacht. As well as lighting on the exterior, interior lighting is formed of parametric glass floor panels, which required a complex fixing and installation system. Interiors of the 3000 GT yacht come from Italian studio Massari Design. Marble, leather, and wood have been used throughout, culminating in over 150 different materials. Accommodation is split across 7 guest cabins, plus a VIP and a generous owner's suite. Key features include a large, light-drenched gym on the sun deck and a beach club with a relaxed lounge area, bar, and spa facilities, including a hammam and Finnish sauna. The beach club is adjacent to a garage, which houses the yacht's Pedrazzini boat. The yacht also plays host to a 7.5 by 3 metre glass-walled pool on the main deck aft, plus a private owner's deck jacuzzi and a spa pool that looks out over the sun deck and can seat 10. Opportunities to unwind al fresco continue on the upper deck dining area, where a marble table accommodates 18 guests. So all sounds very cool, and some quite advanced engineering going on there too, by the sounds of things.
Massive boat too.
Yeah. The project marks the second largest yacht, in fact, to be launched by the Greek shipbuilder, following the 95-meter Opari in 2020. Yeah, right. Also a very beautiful boat. And actually, Golden Yachts currently has one other new build project in its sheds, which is the 77-meter GY77. Project X, meanwhile, is set to make her debut appearance at the Monaco Yacht Show in September. It's all go in Cannes or Monaco. You've got to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many interesting boats. If they all make it there, it will be very interesting for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like an incredible boat. All the things I've just listed out there are exactly what I would have on my super yacht. So I hope to get on board.
It's been a while since we've seen a design by Ken Freevuk on the water, a new one, and it's really an interesting designer and makes the really, really interesting choices. That X is kind of his trademark of sorts. And really looking forward to seeing that.
Amazing.
All right, so that's the news for this week, and we are moving on to the data, as ever brought to you by our exclusive market intelligence platform, Boat Pro. This week, we thought that a little summary on the owners of 60-meter plus yacht would be interesting. It's been a while since we've done it. We thought it was due for an update. So the fleet in detail of 60-meter plus yachts is as follows. There are 459 yachts with a total LOA of 36,517 meters. The average LOA is 79.6 meter. There are 434 motor yachts and 25 sailing yachts. As far as who owns these interesting boats, there are different nationalities. At least 58 different ones make up the list. We won't run through them all, but perhaps we can list the top 10 or so, and then some of the most iconic yachts that are associated with these different countries. So, of course, the number one country is the USA. We know the Americans love their yachts, and they own, in between them, 110 yachts for a total LOA of 8,241 meters and the average length of these yachts is 74.9 meters. The largest one is the 138-meter Rising Sun. Second one is Russia. The owners from Russia own 67 yachts altogether in that size range for a total length of 5,891 meters and an average of 87.9 meters. Yeah, they do go for the bigger
big
yachts.
Big boats, yeah.
Yes. So the largest one, if you want to have a guess.
I think I do know this, actually. I think it's Eclipse.
You're correct. Eclipse with a total LOA of 162 meters, followed by 156 meter Dilbar by gross tonnage is actually the largest, I believe. Then on third position, I was actually surprised about this, but maybe you weren't. The third country on our list is the UK. We have a total of 32 yachts for a total length of 2,223 and an average of 69.5 meter LOA. And the largest one is...
Well, I've got this in front of me. The largest one is Narlin, 91 meters, which is an absolute beautiful boat, like one of my absolute favorites.
She's so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Such a classic.
Yeah. But yeah, I was surprised to see the UK so high up the list because I don't tend to think of them as kind of, you know, the, I don't think of the Brits as owners of, you know, incredibly large yachts, whereas the USA and Russia, I wasn't that surprised by. But yeah, there's obviously a few in there that are kind of skewing the stats, 32 yachts over 60 meters plus.
Right. And then the following, the next country is perhaps less surprising. It's Saudi Arabia. And they have a total of 23 yachts in that category for a total length of 1,922 meters. And the average is 83.6 meters. The largest is the Prince Abdulaziz at 147 meters.
God, 147, another really big boat.
Yeah, an interesting looking one is that. And then following that is UAE with 20 yachts total, a length of 1,982 and an average of 99.1 meters.
Wow.
Really big boats there. The largest being the brand new 160 meter Blue. Then in the next group, actually, we don't know about 20 yachts, so we haven't been able to track the nationalities. There's 20 in that group. And they have a total length of 1,354 and average 67.7 meters. Then the following group is in Greece with 19 yachts for a total length of 1,565 meters and an average length of 82.4 meters. And the largest in that group is 122 meter Alexander. Do you want to try to guess who is next after Greece?
I don't know. I'm trying to run through the nationalities in my head. I don't know. Italy.
Yeah, you're spot on. I was actually surprised about that. Now, the Italians have a lot of yachts, but I didn't expect them to be in a large category like this. So they have 13 yachts, 855 meter total in length for an average length of 65.8 meters. Following Italy is Lebanon with 11 yachts for a total of 801 meters and an average length of 72.8 meters. Followed by Germany with 9 super yachts, 60 meters and above for a total of 697 meters and an average length of 77.4 meters. And we'll go one more to Switzerland, which has 8 of those yachts, 595 meter total, for an average length of 74.4 meter. And the largest is 96 meter Vavatu, which we have featured in Board International.
Yeah, so interesting to see kind of who's come out top there. But of course, not all of the ones in the top 10, you know, covers off the most impressive or the biggest boats. Like, I was surprised not to see Australia sort of slightly higher up the list because they have 108 meter and I'm never sure whether to say IJE or IJ, but they are in the, they are sort of further down the list. They have 7 yachts over 60 meters plus. And then there's things like Al-Makab, 133 meters. That's a Qatari yacht. And there are 7. In fact, there's a number of countries twinned at 7 yachts in 60 meters plus category. Australia has 7, Qatar has 7. So do Turkey, India, and Hong Kong all have 7. And in India, there's the 111 meter Alaya, which is there as well.
Yeah, I was very surprised about France too, because usually it's not where you expect this kind of really luxurious thing. But they do have 6. And the largest one is 101 meter symphony, which is a very beautiful yacht as well.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And then you've also got Oman, obviously, where I was earlier in the year. That's only got three yachts in that category, but one of those is the 155 meter Al Sayed, which is obviously massive. So it's quite interesting when you're looking at them in this way and you're looking at the kind of averages versus, you know, some of these countries still have huge yachts.
Yeah, it's a big, big gap between 60 meter and obviously, you know, 140 meter plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. And I haven't had the good fortune of being on board a lot of those, but I have one. Here Comes the Sun, which is now 89 meters. But when I saw it, it was at the yard and it was still 83 meters. She's growing things then. So there we have it. Yacht spotters have some big boats to look out for and probably more in the making. So,
well, there you have it. Those are the yachts on our Yacht Spotters hit lists. We always get people writing in a bit like train spotters saying, I've just seen this or I've just seen that. And I don't know about you, Cecile, but I certainly get friends on beaches saying, we're in front of a big super yacht. We think it's a really important one. So if you're in front of a massive yacht, it's likely to be one of those. And the owners are most likely statistically to be American, Russian, British, Saudi Arabian, or from the UAE, according to our Boat Pro stats. But keep an eye out. And obviously, we'll look at those numbers changing in the next few years as boats either get bigger or even bigger boats are built. We know there are so many in the sheds at the moment. So some of these owners will be slightly humbled, I think, when they're no longer the biggest yacht in the marina.
Right. There are some really big projects coming out very soon.
Yeah. And of course, we'll keep you up to date with when those hit the water so you can keep an eye out for them as well. Anyway, that's it for this week. So thanks for joining me, Cecile. And
you're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.